Today's daf is daf Kof Chet in Masechet Sanhedrin, third parak Zeborer. The truth is we're right up to the top of the daf, but we better remember where we're up to. The Mishnah went through a list of primary krovim and then said that all of them also have subsidiary krovim, which are the Chataneihem, Uvneihem. So that we came out with quite a list. 8 primary krovim, 1 including the choreg, who doesn't serve as a primary example because Benov Katano is not included. And all we were able to prove yesterday was that the Pasuk says, Avot al Banim. The Pasuk refers specifically to Lo Yomut. We have both directions, Lo Yomtu Avot al Banim, which we showed couldn't have been a moral statement. It must mean something about the dinim of Eidut, and vice versa. So we don't have Avot al Banim, Ubanim Lo Yomtu al Avot. Now, we're assuming that somehow we can derive all of the dinim from that Pasuk. There's a lot of krovim here that are not avot and banim. So the first thing we have to recognize before we begin today's Gemara is that when we talk about avot al banim, we understand that to mean not avot in general, but rather avot who share something. In other words, two avot, that is to say two brothers. Let's call them Reuven and Shimon. So the two brothers are not able to be made on the banim of each other or vice versa. So at least we know that the second generation, in other words, a nephew to an uncle, and an uncle to a nephew, is not kosher for Eidus. In which case, says the Gemara today, Ashkechai, Avot lebanim, ubanim leavot. So far, what do we know? The uncle to the nephew to the uncle, and Koshike, Avot lahadadi. Obviously, the relationship of the two brothers to each other are closer than the relationship of the nephew to the uncle. And therefore, we now know that brothers cannot be made, nephew to an uncle cannot be made, father to son cannot be made. But how do we know that cousins cannot be made? Because we included in our Mishnah, all of the above. Banim la'adadi, it says, Ben Achi Aviv. So Ben Achi Aviv is possible to the Ben Achi of the other one, right? So that means cousins. It says over here that first cousins are possible. It says in the Mishnah. How do we know that first cousins are possible? Because, says the Gemara, Im kein lichtov kro lo yumtu avot al habein. So in other words, that what will we know? That two brothers cannot, they're the avot, the two brothers, the son of one of them cannot be made, son of either one of them. What do we have to talk about? Sons. Unless that's to tell me, my banim, that the sons also are included in this. In other words, the two cousins who were previously only mentioned, had they been a ben as the son, that is the nephew, now become the sons that are cousins. That means the Torah is telling us brothers, brother to son of brother, and sons of brothers. All are included so far in this pasuk. Okay. Ashkechan banim lahadadi. So now we know that two cousins are not allowed to be made one to another. But how about two cousins being made to a third unrelated party? Because we not only aser krovim to each other, we aser krovim as witnesses. So two cousins, let's say, could not be called up to be the witnesses for the kiddushin. How do we know that from? Because over here, it all started with one should not die based on the other one's testimony. What does that have to do with being made for a third party? So what if we're both cousins? What if we're brothers? Why can't two brothers get up and be made as two separate individuals for someone's wedding? It has nothing to do with them. They're unrelated to the chatan.
It's not specific to banim. It's any of the two relationships to go on a third party.
Yeah, of course. This is the maximal that we've seen so far, is the banim.
It's a kaf. It could be 100.
That's true too, but that we'll get to later. Minalan, Omar Rami Bar Chama, that's a svara. Why is it a svara? Because Kiratanya, Ein Ha'edim Naasim Zomim, Ach Yuzumu Shnehem. Consider, since Lemaisa there is no way to be Machai, let's consider the case of Yumtu. Okay, so two witnesses come in who are cousins or who are brothers, and they're made against the third party that person killed someone. Reuven killed Shimon. Now, the din is that unless both of them turn out to be Edim Zomimim, neither of them is going to be Chayev with Kasher Zama. So now some kat edim comes and turns them both into edim zomim. So now it's going to mean that each one is going to be killed because he's an edim zomim to kill Reuven. Problem is, he's only being killed because of his brother's or his cousin's testimony. Because if his brother and cousin hadn't testified, so then he would not have been chayav mita. It's dafka, that testimony, that kills him, because you need yizumu shneihem. V'isak adaitach bonim le'alma kisherim. If you're going to tell me that to a third party, bonim or bachim, whatever the case may be, are pasul, are kosher, so then that would mean that ultimately we get back to an eid zomeim being ne'arag be'edut achiv. How is that possible? Amalei Rava, that's ridiculous. What kind of sfar is that? Because of the indirect fact that if it hadn't been for his testimony, this one wouldn't have been killed. That's called being killed on the basis of his testimony. You want me to prove to you that that's absolutely wrong? It's a Mishnah. V'taymech. How do you understand the following Mishnah? How did it not? This was a great case that we just had recently in Bava Batra. What's the case? The din is, in order to be Mekayim a Soda in somebody's hands, so that it doesn't have a shtar anymore, so we need to have 3 years of Chazakah. Now, suppose the 3 years of Chazakah include 1 year with brother A together with Joe, an unrelated party. Year two with brother B and Joe. Year three with brother C and Joe. So now we have three separate testimonies, each one of 1 year. True? Now, it's obviously correct that all of these testimonies are required in order for us to be Mekayim, the person's Baalut, on the field. But they're not one edut. Each one is being made something else. The fact that they're brothers is irrelevant because they're not brothers in one edut. And the Mishnah indeed says, Beferush, Shlosha Achim, which are the brother A and brother B and brother C, and Echad Mitztaref Imayam, which is Joe. Hare Elu Shalosh Idiot, Vehin Edut Achat La'azama. So these are considered to be three separate testimonies. And therefore we don't have a problem with their being brothers, even though they are one edut for hazama. Because as far as the din of being mishalem for the soda that I was going to be mafsid the owner, I only can be chayev if all 3 years would have been proven. So unless I can be mezim all three brothers and Joe, I don't have Edim Zomimim to be chayev. They're possible, but I don't have Edim Zomimim to be chayev for the damage that they would have done. They wouldn't have done anything. It's only meaningful because all three of these idiots are here. So if you could be mazim, all three brothers, plus Joe, fine, now we're talking. So now you're going to be chayev on Kasher Zaman. Excuse me, says Rava. According to you, that's a ridiculous statement. Because the end result is that because of the technicality that you're accepting the three brothers as witnesses to the same event is because each one represents a separate edut. But you said that the litmus test of this process is, do I need the other brother's testimony in order for me to be an Eid Zomim? Here it says, Beferish in a Mishnah, that is not the litmus test. And that Adarava, we have no problem with requiring Hazama of all three brothers, and nonetheless we could be Mekabel Eidut. So according to you, we should say, Nimtza Eid Zomim Mishalem Mamon Be'edut Achiv. If it hadn't been for his brother, and hadn't been for the fact that we were Mazim his brother, he wouldn't have had to pay. So what's your solution to the Mishnah, my friend? That obviously has a mami amakatim. That's a separate issue. First determine whether I gave an edut. Fine. If it happens to be that it requires the hazama of that edut in order to be b'chai of somebody else, so be it. I wasn't made against that person. It's an incidental damage to him, unfortunately. But that's called ancillary damage. That's not called primary edut. So then that's true over here, too, in the case of the nefashot. Achinami hazama mi'amakati. What are you bringing in an ancillary consequence and calling it that a primary pagam in the halacha of lo yumtu al? That's not al, it's a coincidence. Okay, so can we throw out your approach? Thank you. Now let's do something reasonable, okay? So now, our question was, how do we know that any group of two krovim becomes posel for edut for a third party? That's our question. All we've shown is that they're posel for one another. Where do we get the idea that a testimony cannot be had with two krovim? I'll tell you. Look back to the pasuk, not to a svar. Ella im kein lichtov kra ubein al avot. Remember, before we were dorish, avot al banim. We said it could have said avot al bein. Why does it say avot al banim? To teach me that the two banim also could be related. From there we learned that cousins are also included. But now let us look at the other part of the pasuk. Ubanim lo yumtu al avot. Why do we need to repeat the ubanim? We could have said ben, that the son of either of those party lo yumtu al avot. So banim has got to be coming to tell me something. Or you could even have used just a pronoun. You could have said nor they on the testimony of their fathers. Heim al avot. But why repeat ubanim lo yumtu al avot? Therefore, what it's coming to tell me is that afilu, the drasha is that afilu banim le'alma, those same banim that were puzzled to each other are simply puzzled as witnesses to anybody else. That teaches us that any two krovim are puzzled to be made to a completely unrelated third party.
And the avos, the second avos, we're going to deal with that?
Yes, of course. So, okay, what have we learned so far? We've learned a fair number of the cases in the Mishnah, namely all of those cases that are related paternally, because the pasuk keeps stressing fathers. So it would certainly be a jump to say mothers. And of course, the Mishnah included, the Mishnah Rishonah indeed said, well, oh, it's just fathers. But the way in which the Mishnah that we have it is, Enoch Inami, Rabbi Yossi says, okay, this is the new Mishnah. This is Rabbi Akiva's approach. Where does he know it from? How do you get all of the cases in the Mishnah that are women-oriented? Not only are they women-oriented, but we even come to say that the woman who would have been a man would have been Usher, her husband is Usher. That's yet another step, right? We've gone all the way to relatives through marriage, not only relatives through mothers. This is two steps we're going to have to deal with. First of all, I want to know, how about through mothers? It doesn't even say that in the pasuk. So, Ashkechan Krovei Ha'av, Krovei Ha'em Minolan. Where do we get the idea that we can include even the relatives of the mother? Ah, Omar Kro, Avot, Avot. Why do we have to repeat? Loyim to Avot Avanim, Uvanim Loyim to Avot. You could have said Alehem. Av, what's this avot repeated for? So here, clearly, it's coming to talk about not paternity, but rather parenting. That's the point. Fathers in the sense of genetic sources. That's the idea. Im eno inyan to literal krovei ha'av, tneu inyan la krovei ha'em. So now we see clearly from this pasuk, far, far more than we ever would have dreamt of. You read it naively, and it's talking about children and fathers. And then it expands into clearly, the first word clearly comes to mean brothers. And then the second now, banim, comes to include cousins. And now it comes to be expanded into and mothers. And then is expanded into the dinim of these witnesses vis-a-vis the third parties. Amazing. And it's all very clearly there in the pasuk once the pasuk is properly parsed and expanded, right? Ashkechan lechova. We have another issue here, and that is that the pasuk stresses for dying. I mean, that's how about for giving them a gift? I mean, why does it? We pasul anything at all. I mean, even getting married. I mean, everybody's wife has tears of happiness from their eyes. I mean, it should be a good thing. So why can't we have two brothers being made at a wedding? So Ashkechan lechova, but how do you know l'schut? Omar kra, because it repeats yum tu also. Why does it have to say yum tu? Yum tu trei zimne. Did you need to repeat yum tu? Im eno inyan lechova, tneu inyan lezachut. So therefore, it must mean across the board for whatever it is. Yeah, but I mean, it's also talking about things that are of absolute importance. Ashkam b'dinei nefashot. So now you're telling me they're not accepted in a capital case. Not for good and not for bad. They can't be made that he wasn't there. They can't be made that he did the murder. So that I see. But how about b'dinei mamonot? I mean, maybe the Torah isn't as makbid when it comes to that it should be a gift to him. Is that so bad? How do we know that that's also included? Omar Kro, no, that's our general rule. Mishpat echad yelachem. Mishpat echad means all mishpat is shaveh. Mishpat ha-shaveh lachem. So when you are coming to be done nefashot, or you're coming to be done mamon, mishpat is the same. And we'll see we need, in fact, special takanot, which we're going to talk about later, legabe edim, and what we'll take when it comes to edut, that the rabbanon are mitakein in order to get around this problem, because otherwise you can forget about meaningful markets. I mean, if we're going to need the type of very, very careful and positive qualities of edim, and forget about it. Nobody's going to do any kind of business because they'll never find a witness that's going to stand up to cross-examination. So memela, we make takonas, but mi'ikar adin, and I will see later, but mi'ikar adin, it's all the same. Mishpat ha-shaveh lachem, you have a din about one penny. It's exactly the same as a capital case in terms of the need, other than we saw the nafkaminas in the number of dayanim, but the need for the hakpada, things that pass, is exactly the same. Omar Rav. Now, Rav came up with a statement that was a very loaded statement, and that seems to go beyond the information that we learned in the Mishnah. Rav said like this, Achi Abba, my father's brother, Lo Ya'idli, okay, that's clear, who Uveno V'chatano, also clear, the Mishnah said that. So that was one of the primal cases in the Mishnah, one of the eight primary cases, Achi Aviv. And it says about him and his son, or son-in-law. Well, Af Ani Lo Idlo, I too cannot be made for him. And of course, this the reason that this is here is because it comes right on the footsteps of the Pasuk that actually set up the mirror image. Banim al avot, avot al banim. And what Rav is doing is taking that mirror image, and in doing so, he's adding another generation. Because he's saying the primaries and their next generation, be it son or son-in-law, is also to be seen as a mirror, in which case I, and here's the part that's tough, Af ani lo idlo ani uvni lekatani. Wow. So what he's saying is, my son was a great nephew, which was not included in the Mishnah, cannot be made. And that it didn't say in the Mishnah. So the primaries that were listed were the first generations, let's say, and their children, that they cannot be made to me. Yes, we saw that for the puzzle. They cannot be made to me. But what you want to say now is that a third generation cannot be made back to the first generation. V'amai, havilei shlishi b'rishon. And of course, this is the easiest way. And from now on, this is the way we're going to talk about it. We're going to look at each generation. So the father is Rishon, next generation is Sheni, and so on. So if this is the case, you're talking about a grandnephew, you're talking about a Dor Shlishi that is being made against a Dor Rishon. So two brothers against each other would be a Rishon b'Rishon. First cousins would be Sheni b'Sheni. First cousins once removed would be Shlishi b'Sheni. Second cousins would be Shlishi b'Shlishi. And so on and so forth. Which is a perfect way of keeping in mind. Now, you could stop with the cousins with all these words and simply think about the numbers in your iconized view, in your mind, and you can immediately see what we're talking about. So what Rav has done now has added another generation, because the Mishnah confined everything to two generations. Well, the most that it said was the second generation is us against each other. First cousins. That's all it said. It didn't say that a third generation would ever get into that picture. How did Rav figure that one to be true from the Mishnah? V'amai, havilei shlishi b'rishon. Is this not a third generation, a grandnephew, against the original generation? And all that it says in the Mishnah is two generations. Sheni b'sheni t'nan. It does say sheni b'sheni. It does say Sheni B'Rishon T'nan. It never says Shlishi B'Rishon. Lo T'nan. Where do you get the idea that you have a son, and that son cannot be made against your uncle? Where do you get that from? Ah, because Rav says, when it says who, uvno v'chatano, it's referring to chatano of the above beno. So in other words, who, and his son, and even the chatano of the son. Which means that not only is the Mishnah talking about third generation, it's talking about third generation through marriage. Bango. My chatano diktani about diktin, chatan bino. Oh, that's weird. Because, I mean, until now we have not been talking about through marriage. We're talking about bino. Now, third generation we introduce through marriage. Chatano. So I'm just saying, ben bino. No, I mean, who? Ubno, ben bino. That's the normal way that you would say it, his son or his grandson. When you say it that way, it sounds to be saying either or his son-in-law. The Dafka introduced the idea of son-in-law on the second generation to create a third generation. Why do it that way? I was going to say what you're thinking. Milta agav urche kamash malah. Because the Mishnah is coming to teach me something very important, which is that Baal ki ishto. If we would assume for a moment that the laws of testimony would be exactly the same for a woman as they are for a man, so then the chiddush over here is that the woman involved over here is the granddaughter, b'no u'bat b'no, becomes now transmogrified, in practical terms, into her male alter ego, which is her husband. So that means that the chatano is the equivalent of the next generation. So it's coming to tell me two chidushim at once. So this is different than the idea simply of through marriage, related through marriage, because it's giving us a claw that wherever we could imagine any way up the chart of Edus that we're talking about over here, substitute a male for the female that's there. If that male would be Asur, then if that male is a female who has a husband, it's the equivalent of the male who is Asur, which adds an entirely, that's the reason for all the other weird cases that we have in the Mishnah, in which all these by marriage relationships, where I don't even know that she, you're talking about a brother-in-law, I mean, I don't even know that the woman is Asur. Because the woman is, but she would be usher if she was a man. So what's the difference if she's a woman? It's a separate issue. In other words, the Mishnah is coming to teach us, ignore the gender when it comes to the question of the Edut. Look only at the door. Shlishi, Sheni, Shlishi, Rishai, whatever the case is. Now, is he, she, kosher Edut? So that depends. Is it a he or a she? But furthermore, if there is now a marriage relationship at any of those points, the she is a he for all intents and purposes, and therefore you can ignore the fact that it's a she. And just look at the he part of the she, which is the male that is related. So there's really two steps that are involved here, and it forces us to abstract the two issues. We need to separate them completely. The generation and the sex that is being represented in that generation. It's furthermore adding the idea that the male becomes the equivalent of that female in the event of marriage. But that obviously adds a lot more than we would have previously thought related through marriage, because here the relationship doesn't have to be through marriage. It's related through marriage of someone who herself is only related through marriage, but now becomes the equivalent of the brother instead of the sister. Right? So that explains all these additional cases in the Mishnah. So this is a fantastic way of saying it, even in the next generation, chatan, which is, means the third generation, the woman is the one that is psula in her form as the chatan. That's all. Because that's what's happened. His daughter is attempting to be made through her husband, so to speak. So therefore, again, let's see that inside. My chatano diktani b'matditin chatan bino, not just chatano. And so you'll say, wouldn't it just be easier if you would have said your son or your grandson? Velikne ben beno? No, because it's also coming to teach me. Milta gavurche kamashmalan, de baal ki ishto. But now we run into another problem. And that is, we have a braita in which Rabbi Chiya clarified, just to make sure that we don't go bananas, and we keep everything in exact proportion. Rabbi Chiya points out how many relatives are really being addressed in this Mishnah. So the Tani Rabbi Chiya, you'll note that the Mishnah includes eight primary relatives, Shmona Avot, Avot in the sense of like Avot Nezikin. These Shmona Avot literally are Avot in the sense of having Banim and Chatanim. So therefore, these Shmona Avot actually give us 24 different people. Because if you include B'nei'hem and Chataneihem of the Avot, you have to multiply the 8 times 3. And that would give you 24. So now, even though Lamaisa there are 9, he doesn't want to include the Choreg, because the Choreg is not an Av, since it says Chorgo Levado. So we're talking about Avot, not only the sense of being males that have children and son-in-laws, but that stand at the head of a group, a set. The Choreg does not stand at the head of a set. So that means there's 28 Avot Ubanim, 24 Avot Ubanim, plus one, and we call this in Hebrew, a Choreg. So when something doesn't fit into a set, it's a choreg, exactly like the Mishnah is referring to. It's a stepchild. That's the mathematical name for something that's not included in the set. That's what Rabbi Chiya is talking about. As we talk about something that is not part of a rule in modern Hebrew, it's a mikre choreg. What's a mikre choreg? That's based on Rabbi Chiya's braita here on the Mishnah. So we have the primaries being the avot, and the one that doesn't relate to a set is a choreg. Beautiful, no? See, Torah Pratis is throughout. You can't get away from it. Once you're already creating language, you can try your best, but it's always there. So you've got over here 24 cases plus the 25th, which is Choreg.
Okay. What does it mean? Who the eight of us? What are the eight of the primary relations?
The ones that we just listed here in the Mishnah. We go through them, and you'll see. We have eight over here. So together with the Banim and the Chatanim, besides the case of Choreg, you have eight. But the problem is that now, according to what Rav is saying, you really have Tlat and Utardin. You really have 32. Because you have the eight Avot, you said, the eight Banim, you said, the eight Chatanim, you said, but what about the eight Bnei Banim? Now, why does we only ask from the eight Bnei Banim? Why don't we ask also from the eight Chatanim? I'd say we have 40. Where did we come up with the idea that we only have 32?
The second level, we should have also had.
We should have gone, yeah, well, why not? So Rashi says, well, but what's the point? In other words, once we know that Chatanim and Banim are the same, so you're not really adding, why would Rabbi Chiya bother mentioning that we have those? Tosu says, no, that's not true, that's not enough. Because you could ask that about many of the cases. So ignore any case that's not coming to tell me a Chiddush. The Ri says the reason that it's not, we don't mention it, is because it doesn't say it in the Mishnah. In other words, according to Rav, when it says Chatameim, it's referring to the Chatan of the Beno, but it never mentions the Beno of the Beno. So, Memela, what we're saying is, listed in our Mishnah, it's a far more powerful answer. Almost the opposite of Rashi. He's saying that it includes, the eight include the additional eight sons, and we know by the mentioning the eight grandsons, right, the eight grandson-in-laws, so to speak. Tosfos says, on the contrary, we're counting every case mentioned in the Mishnah. According to Rav, the Chatanim doubles only that generation in one way. It doesn't mention that it's also doubled because of the Ben of the next generation. It mentions only the Chatan. Fine, so that's where we list. But in the Mishnah, directly, it says 32 cases, plus the Choreg. That's the Gemara's Kasha. Nice, nice. Okay. So then if Rav is right that a chatan means not only his chatan, but also chatan beno, so then you've added eight more cases, because you had eight benos that have chatans. So now why aren't there 32? It seems almost as if Rav Chiya, the only chiddush that Rav Chiya came to tell you was don't think like Rav. Otherwise, I mean, I also know how to add. So, I mean, that, isn't that the whole point of Rav Chiya? Shmona avot, esrim va'arba, it should be tlatim v'tlata. In which case this is a very serious attack, because if it's the whole point of Rav Chiya, you can't start fumfing it, you know. Well, you know, it's not, there's no well. That's what he's coming to tell you. Whoops. Okay. So then back to the drawing board. We can no longer learn that the Makor of Rav is understanding that Chatan is Chatan Beno without getting into trouble with Rav's now being Chalek on a Braita, and we didn't find anybody who would say that. All we found was the Braita of Reb Chiya that lists it. We don't have a Braita that lists 32 in the Mishnah. That's why the answer of the Ri seems to be so much more meaningful than Rashi's answer. Because Rashi's saying we don't bother. If it's just a question of bother, then that means the Reb Chiya isn't coming to teach you anything. If it's the point, I want to explain to you what the Mishnah is saying, as the Ri explains. The Mishnah is saying 24. Oh, no, 24. That's not a good question. We want to keep our questions to what it could say as clear-cut as what it is that we're trying to learn in Reb Chiya. That's his chiddush, is that there's 24 and only 24 mentioned in the Mishnah. So therefore, Rav has to have another marker. Ella says, okay, I give up. You're right. Le'olam chatano mamash. It means chatano. So where does Rav get the idea of chatan beno? I think he said Rav is saying chatan beno is also included. So where does he get that from? We're back where we started from. I'll tell you why. Because look, am I currently chatan beno? The idea over here that Rav is saying, well, the chatan mentioned in the Mishnah might as well be another generation, a third generation, right? Might as well be. You know why? Because kiven de mi alma kapati kidora cherdami. The very fact that he was absorbed into this family from outside, he's not part of the genetic structure of the family. So that's another leap. What's the difference whether you leap horizontally or you leap vertically? Once you've included a chatan, you've added one more leap over a gap. In this case, the gap is over the entire genetic gap of taking somebody in. So for all intents and purposes, that's the same jump that you have to a next generation, which is mix the genes with somebody else. So it's the same idea. Therefore, Rav says, Bitzad Asvara, the moment you talk about a chatan, you're already talking about another generation, for all intents and purposes, from a genetic point of view. So if that's the case, certainly if you're going down a generation, it's going to be also included. And therefore, the very fact that chatan is included means that ben beno is included. Wow. Now, wait a minute. But if that's true, that you're telling me that a chatan is the equivalent of another generation, and the Mishnah says over here, you said that the chatan of my father's brother is posel to me. Chatan of the father. Wait a minute. But you said a chatan is like another generation. And I, Rav, am the second generation. But then that would mean that he's saying that a third generation is posel against the second generation. Now, wait. All he said initially was that a third generation is usher in the first generation. Okay, the logic that you're saying is that it's the equivalent of a generational gap to talk about a chatan would mean that a third generation would be usher in a second generation. And Rav never said that. So how could you say that? Iachi has to the Gemara. It's the equivalent of shlishi b'sheni. And we know that Rav was machshir in the shlishi b'sheni. Because all he was saying, af ani lo a'id lo, I can't be made for my uncle. I can't be made, my son can't be made, my son-in-law can't be made. What's he going to the uncle for? If the chiddush is that even the uncle's son, then that's what he's got to say. Clearly he holds that we do not take that additional gap. Remember, the gap, the generational gap, this is not intuitive to people in the West because they don't have that sense, the clear-cut sense of the blood sharing in their minds because they never talk about the generations. They make up words for the generations and it destroys your iconic interrelationship. When you call someone a cousin instead of a sheni b'sheni, you completely lose track of the relationship. So it's not evident to you, well, if you're not allowed to be an aide for your cousin, certainly you can't be an aide to your uncle. You don't even know your uncle. Your cousins are your best friends. But what are you talking about? I don't like my uncle. I like my cousins. When you talk about it purely in terms of the genetic relationship, it gets much more scientific. Then you understand what we're talking about. Look at the number of gaps between you and the contents of their genes. And then you'll see that you're closer genetically. That's the point. It's not that you're sharing the same classroom. That's irrelevant. So that's why it's so useful for us to discuss it in terms of Rishon B'Sheni. So obviously, if you'd be doing a biological study of something, and we'd be dealing with some other species, and we'd forget the English cousin issue, we'd immediately set it up mathematically in this fashion. That's what the Gemara is doing. So now, if you've told me that the only gap, the maximum gap that Rav was willing to discuss was the gap from a 3 to a 1, and not 3, 2, 1, down to 2 again, which is yet another gap. So how could Rav use this logic if, according to his logic, that a horizontal leap is the equivalent of a generational leap, so then he would be coming out with 3 to 2. 3 to 2 is one additional gap, which he did not say over here you could do. So how do you explain that? Rav Achshir, Shlishi B'Sheni, says the Gemara, I'll tell you, Rav Diyama Karabi Elazar. The truth is, Rav does have a Makor. The Makor is in the bright. The Tanya, Rabbi Elazar Omer, Kishem She'achi Abba Lo Ya'id Li. Does it not say in the Mishnah, very clearly, my father's brother cannot be made for me, neither can his son or his son-in-law be made for me. Kach ben achi abba. It also goes in the other direction. The mirror is a complete mirror. The son of my father's brother, meaning my cousin, lo ya'id li, he too cannot be made to me, not to me, and for that matter, neither can who, ubno v'chatano. And that is the case of Shlishi B'Sheni, because you're saying, my cousin's son, which is once removed, a Shlishi, cannot be made to me, who is the Dor Sheni. So therefore, Rav does have a Makor for this. Wait a minute, now you're driving me nuts. That's still a Shlishi B'Sheni, you said. What Rebbe Elazar is saying is, let's turn the Mishnah into a complete mirror image, including the Hu Ubno V'Chatano. So that means we could say the Hu Ubno V'Chatano is now on the other side. Let's start with Beno. Beno from Ben Achi Avi, which was included. The Beno, to me. Aha, okay, so now we're talking about Shlishi B'Sheni. But Rav was Machshir. You just asked me that. Rav is Machshir B'Shlishi B'Sheni. And then you say, well, Rav also Rebbe Elazar, who asked Shlishi B'Sheni. I don't get what you're trying to say. Rav is saying, in principle, the idea of a mirror-imaged Mishnah is fine. So Rav Sarvala Kavate Bechoda. Upoligale Bechoda. Rav agrees with Rebbe Elazar, in principle, namely, a chatan is not considered to be a dor acher. It's not that he's got this new idea of let's add a jump, because this is the equivalent of a jump, in which case it really should be shlishi B'Sheni. That's indeed we change our mind. The reason Rav passes a Shlishi B'Rishayin is because he holds like Rebbe Elazar. However, he doesn't hold all the way like Rebbe Elazar. He's Sarvalei Kechoda in one thing, namely that the mirror image would extend to a Dor Rishon, yes. But he's Poligalei Bechoda to say that it should go all the way from a Shlishi to a Sheni. And what is indeed the logic? It isn't logic. It's a Diyuk in the Pasuk. My time in the Rav. The Omar Kra. Look how you can read it. Lo yumtu avot al banim uvanim. The Vav. You forgot about that little Vav. You said, lo yumtu avot al banim. Banim lo yumtu al avot. But when you put in the uvanim, you're saying, but that's also coming to say banim uvanim. But banim uvanim adds another generation. So that's coming l'rabot doracher. So here you see that if second generation against first generation is included in the simple meaning of the pasuk, what we've called the simple meaning of the pasuk so far, the vav comes to include yet another generation, which is dor shlishi back to the dor rishon, and therefore we now know that a shlishi is aser b'rishon. And why says the Gemara in Rabbi Elazar? Why does he say, and it also goes one more generation, that a third to a second? How does he know that? He says, well, look at the pasuk. You forgot another word. Ve, yes, but what about the al? Ve banim al. Al banim viavod, al banim amrachman. What does that mean? Take whatever would be the psul for the avot, and take that psul and throw it onto the banim. That's what al means, doesn't it? Al means we say, it's like it's on your shoulder. So in that case, what you need to do I agree with you about the Vav, but I say this Vav also has to be taken into consideration. It's in the context of Albanim, which means anything possible to the Av would be also possible to the Ben. Is it not true that possible to the Av would be the second generation to the Av? Now add that to the Ben, which means now the third generation Ben is also to the second generation, which was also to the Av. So Mamela, we now add Psur Shlishi B'Sheni. Rav is in Derech, the Vav with the Al together. That's the difference between them. But the Mekor in the Pasuk now is quite clear. Are we okay up till now? This is a brilliant Rosh. I mean, absolutely stunning to see Pasuk expanded in this fashion, no? Okay, so now let's get into the female relationships, which we haven't really spoken about. I'm sure you're having fun. Omer of Nachman. Now, this is the kind of thing you'd love to show off expertise on when they call up somebody to be a test, you know, witness. And they're somehow related as a, you know, third cousin married to and this and that, and everybody thinks that's great. And you could say, wait, it's all about one-upmanship. Chuppahs, you know. You got to show something's wrong with the ketubah or something's wrong with the edus or something. I mean, otherwise, you're barely noticed at the wedding. Yeah. Well, what do they do up there when they sit and fight and argue? And it's got to be the year. So this is fantastic weaponry the Gemara is giving you. Look at this. So, okay, I mean, there's lots of ways. You know, you don't only have to attack the ksuv and the edim. There's lots of things you can do. Knock everybody over as you're coming to show cover to the way. There's tons of stuff to be noticed as an edim. But this is the more sophisticated.
I think
Ali Bar Kapar is the best. He's the best. So, says the Gemara now to continue. Omer of Nachman, the brother of my mother-in-law. The brother of my mother-in-law. cannot be made to me. Okay? Not only that, the son of the brother of my mother-in-law cannot be made me. And not only that, the son of the sister of my mother-in-law cannot be made to me. Now that sounds strange, doesn't it? Except that it's a Beferish Mishnah. You just didn't bother noticing. V'tana tuna, and this is what I want you to notice. It says over here, Ba'al Achoto. Ba'al achot aviv, u'ba'al achot imo, hein, uvnehem, v'chataneihem. Now all I did was switched it around so you didn't notice the mirror. And it looked like I was pulling a rabbit out of a hat. But all I did was point it out to you that if you take the Mishnah in the other direction, so then the it's chatan, ba'al achoti, is posoli vani lo. Why? Because I am the brother of his mother-in-law. Exactly, correct? So it's exactly the same case in the mirror image. And I, to the son-in-law of Ba'al Achoti, you said Chatano. So my sister's now husband has a son-in-law. Okay, so what am I to that son-in-law? I am the son of the brother of his mother-in-law. So it's all of the cases are literally in the Mishnah. I'm just pointing out to you how weird it looks from the other side. But it's the same case that was said in the Mishnah. Okay, so all I'm looking at, I want you to note that it's all meant to be diyukim from the word chatan in the Mishnah, or the ben in the Mishnah. And then all of this works out. Omer of Ashik, Yavinam Be Ula, when we were at Ula, he used to trick us with these, alright, so Iboilan, Achir Chamiv Mahu. So, what would be the din of the brother of your father-in-law? Or how about Ben Achir Chamiv Mahu? How about that? How about the Ben Achot Chamiv Mahu? Now, we were all confused about that. Omar Lan, and he told us, look, that's the Mishnah, Tanitu. Achot, what we say in the Mishnah is Achiv, Achi Aviv, V'Achi Imo, Hein Uvnehem, V'Chataneihem. So when you say the Chataneihem, that's exactly what you've just done. You've just inverted it. Rav Ikla L'Mizban Gvile. Rav once went to the market to buy some skins for writing on a Sefer Torah, Mizuzas. And they asked him, Bomine Marush Ya'id Adam Be'eshet Chorgo. Now this is very interesting. He's asked to be made about the nechasim of the wife of his stepson. And we said the stepson is levado. There was a stepson is not part of the interrelationship of Bno and Chatano. He doesn't have a Bno uchatano. So we want to know whether he, Lamaisa, with another person, would be kosher. Now, certainly any of the other relatives besides Korgo that would be mentioned, since the Bonim are pasul, they're pasul to him, so then he would be pasul to them. And we know that that would be true even to the wives, as we've established, which is clear for the Mishnah. But Chorgo, we're over there, the ben of the Choreg is kosher. So then maybe the Eshet of the Choreg is also kosher. And the logic in that would be that there's no longer any Yerusha connection at all, because he's a complete stranger. At least in the other cases, the extension would be in some way roi for Yerusha, maybe through the woman. But over here, there's no connection at all. Now, besura amri, ba'al ki ishto, bepumbedita amri, isha ki ba'ala. So there's two ways of looking at this. So when you say ba'al ki ishto, what you're saying is that we need to look at a woman and as being the equivalent. When her husband is there, he is the equivalent of her. In which case, it's as if he is the father-in-law of this woman. And a father-in-law is possible. The stepfather, it becomes now the stepfather-in-law. Because what we say is that the Baal Ki Ishto, should give him also the extended relationship now of being the father-in-law, okay? And the father-in-law, this is his wife's son from another marriage. Now you're asking, can he be made about the wife of that son? But then he is the father-in-law of that son, so then of that woman, so forget it. The impumbadita, they say it the other way. Impumbadita, they say isha kebaala, which is the same thing. It's wherever the woman would be, that's the equivalent of his being the father of the choreg. And we said the father of the choreg is included in the Mishnah. So both directions bring you to an isser. Either it's as if he's testifying against the choreg, or it's as if he is the father-in-law of the woman who is the choreg. That's all the same thing. But it's important to note that it extends in both directions, and this is true about all the relationships that we saw in the Mishnah. The Omer of Huna, Omer Rab, where do we see the din that an isha is kebala? I mean, do we just pick this out of an emotional hat? No. It says in the pasuk, ervat achi avicha lo tegaver. El ishto lo tikrav, dodat chahi. This is weird. Don't sleep with the wife who is married to your father's brother because she is your doda. She's not your doda. She's the wife of your dod. Alo esha dodohi. Michal di isha kebala. From here we see that the Torah is going out of its way to tell you that in terms of the relationship, we view that as being one and the same. Otherwise, what do you need to say? Just say, don't sleep. That's all it says. Don't sleep with her. I have to give you now an explanation of what to call her. Do I care if you call her Auntie Beth? Or you go, what's the difference? That's goof of the Chiddush. That's the full equivalent of your dot. Then says the Mishnah, Ubao imo, who, uveno, vechatano. I'm confused. Isn't Beno his brother? You say, the wife of his, the husband of his mother's son. That usually equals a brother. I mean, true from a mother, but it's a brother. Omer Birmia, lo nitzcha ela le'achei ha'ach. This is coming to tell me that even if, let's say you have a ben, where he now, this ben that he has is from another woman, it would still be possible to him because it's considered to be the brother of a brother. So since, even though it's not his brother, but a brother of a brother is also usher, even though he's not related to him. A brother of a brother is usher, but Rav Chista said a brother of a brother is kosher. Rav Chista achsher be'achaya ach. So how is he going to learn the Mishnah? Right? This is an interesting extension. Because now we're talking about people who are totally unrelated, but you're saying the Mishnah comes to include where he has a son from another marriage, and she has a son from another marriage. So you're saying now they should be usher in one another because it's an achia ach that we said. Wow. But Rav Chista says that that's okay. And they ask Rav Chista, how can you say it's okay? Lo shmielecha had Rabbi Yirmiyah, didn't you hear how Rabbi Yirmiyah explained the Baal Imo and Beno as being an unrelated Beno, and you're saying that it's kosher? And he said, nope, never heard that one, meaning I couldn't care less. I don't think it makes any sense. So he said, lo shmi'ali, kloma, lo sfirali. I don't think it makes sense. So how do you explain the fact that the Mishnah now is redundant? Well, you know yet Achiv Mina'im. This is Achiv Mina'im is what it means. So the son of the Baal Imo, okay, it's not your father, but it's your mother. That's how I understand. Now they're unrelated. It's your half-brother, but it's only your brother through a common mother. Where did it say that in the Mishnah before? Isn't that one of the most fundamental differences between the Mishnah Mishnah and Rabbi Akiva's Mishnah? So the Mishnah shouldn't even bother pointing that out. That's what it's coming to tell you. That even his brother, who would only be a half-brother, and it's only Mina'im, is also considered to be a brother. So it mentions first Achiv, which of course comes from the Pasuk Avot Albanim. Then it mentions a brother from a mother, which comes from the additional avot that we were medayik imenu inyan to krovei av today inyan the krovei im. Amr of Chista. There's another example of unrelated people, and that's mechutanim. Can mechutanim be made one to another? Says Rav Chista, absolutely. The avi hachatan and the avi hakala are completely unrelated, despite the fact that their children are married to each other. You know how related they are? They're related as much as the cover of a barrel is related to the barrel. You say, but they need each other. That's true, but they sure ain't stuck to each other. It's artificial, so you glue it on. So, you know, the point is, it doesn't make them the same mean, does it? Just because they both are used in the same process. So it's true, in order to get the next generation going, you needed to have a previous generation, or both, one is the barrel top and one is the barrel. No, what do I care? So therefore they're related to each other. Omar Rabba Barbara Chana. Me'id adam lishto arusa. You can even be made legabe the money of a woman that you haven't taken to the chuppah. Amar Ravina, that doesn't mean that you can be made that people should give her money, because you may have your eye on that money, but it's only, of course, la fuke mina. So to have her lose money, which might have been yours one day, that's okay, but la yule lo meheman. Because, I mean, even though you may not be related to her, technically, if you're claiming that the relationship of Isha and Bala requires chuppah, however, there's certainly a negiut, velohi, and this is completely not the case. Lo shna lafuke, velo shna leyule, lo meheman. He is not believed because it has nothing to do with nogeya beidut. It has to do with the fact that he is considered to be a relative. What was your thinking? Why did you think that an erisin is not sufficient to be a relative? I know what your makor is. Your makor is the din of avelut about a kohen. That's the thing that immediately strikes you. Because as we know, the omakiri, omar b'chia barami b'shvei de'ula, we had this so many times. Ishto arusa. Lo onein v'lo mitameh. If he's a kohen, there's no din of aninut, there's no din of his needing to be mitameh if he's a kohen. And he lo onened v'lo mitameh lo, which of course there's no real din of mitameh. However, the idea over here, of course, is lav dafka. And some actually take it out as Rashi. You see, some people don't have that girsa, because obviously there's no isser on an isha kohenet to be metama. But in a mitzvah, doesn't have to go to a funeral. They're not related. There's no din of avilut at all. Meita eno yosha. Meitu gova ktuvata. Assuming that there's a ktuva that he wrote him in Harrison, which is, that's up to them. But anyway, so you assume, well, there you go. So apparently they're not related, because there's no din of avilut and there's no din of tuma for a kohen. But that's not true. It's nothing to do with this case. You assumed that it's the same, but the truth is hatam. B'she'ero tala rachmana. Didn't the Torah go out of its way to say, ki'im l'she'ero ha'karov elav lo yitama? So it's a din specifically in she'er. She'er means shared flesh. And arusa is not shared flesh. It's a technical connection. It doesn't have any of the elements there of the avelut issues. And she is not she'ero at this point. Akati lav she'erohi. Ma she'en kein. Here it has nothing to do. Here it has to do. Very possibly. I'd agree. That the din of psul and edut is not a genetic issue. It's a question of the psychology that is related to, certainly this extension into Baal Ki Ishto is related to the psychological elements of Baal Ki Ishto, not the genetic elements of Baal Ki Ishto. And therefore, over here it has to do with Kruve, but Kruve in abstraction. Kruve Daita, not Kruve of flesh. And therefore, Ikruve Daita Legaba. The Torah is viewing that interconnectedness on an emotional level as being Kirva. So then, why say Arusa is different? No, it's Kirva, and therefore even if it's doing damage to his own possible getting this money, so what? A Korov is possible, whether it comes, as we were bedaik from the Pasuk, whether it's little Chova, or it would be Pater, the Dover Tov, it's also good, the Schus.